What's going on? This is the Block Report. I am your host, the magnificent TDK, aka Tafari XL. I am pleased to be here to bring you the news and not the blues. Now, what we do here at the Block Report, although we cover a variety and myriad of different subjects at times, there is a time and where we give commentary on certain subjects. We don't really provide advice or tell people what to do, what to think, or how to think. However, it is promoted, highly promoted on the Block Report that you do think, and especially to critically think. No matter what you may think of me, my commentary, my delivery, my flow, I promote that you do think and you think critically. You see, my motivation in doing this is not to be liked. My motivation in doing this is to bring forth actual, real, purposeful dialogue to certain subjects without an ulterior motive or propagandized government commercialized agenda. This agenda that we bring forth is for us to build on the knowledge that each one has, which I'm bringing, which of course you're listening, but then you can go ahead and then build off of what you heard me say, and whether or not you can decide that, hey, this guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He's talking crap, and then whatever, if that's the avenue you want to take with it, fine. Then it goes from there, and that's it. Or you could say, this guy has something. He has a point. And you know what? I want to check it out even further. I want to dig a bit deeper. I want to scratch beneath the surface. So, there are a lot of things going on, and everyone has, most individuals on the internet have some type of agenda. My agenda is to increase the level of dialogue and to bring forth a more educated and sophisticated crowd of people on the subjects at hand, and in which the world that we live in, so that we can enhance the world that we're living in and enhance it for the future. And what would it mean to enhance it? Well, that would mean by correcting the injustices that exist, and that includes correcting the systematic, structural, institutionalized racism. So, although there are other things that we can talk about, just so that you know, that is definitely on the agenda, because we know that there is one heavy beast on the planet that weighs on the planet, and that is that systematic, structural, institutionalized racism. However, today on the Block Report, we're going to be reading some current news articles in regards to some of the things that have been going on, that if you've been noticing and paying attention, a lot of things, no matter where you go, it's not that the coronavirus is the only thing in the news, is that the situation of the coronavirus existing seems to affect everything that is going on. Down and apparently also being that it occurred and it is happening during an election year, it makes it even bigger and more significant. It is affecting things in the market. It is affecting the healthcare systems. It is affecting a lot of different situations. For something that basically only somewhere around 1 or 2% of the population dies from, which my opinion is that a lot of people in the initial first stages that were seeking treatment or remedy or some assistance from what they thought they had was the coronavirus, or even if it was proven positive that they had the coronavirus, which they said there was some skepticism with the results of the tests, they were being treated, and some of these folks were mistreated, in my opinion, and maltreated, and instead the hospitals incurred a bunch of unnecessary deaths because they were putting people on these ventilators, and some of these people didn't know how to operate the ventilators, and it was of no help to some of the individuals that were seeking help. This is in my opinion. Now, of course, I'm not a medical doctor, but there is such a thing, for instance, there is such a thing as a forensic scientist or forensic psychiatrist. And let me tell you about a forensic psychiatrist, and to show you to a degree, which I'm not one, but I'm going to show you what they do, which is essentially that anybody could do this, but it would require you to have some level of education in certain theories of science and medicine. And those sciences and medicine would be psychology, psychiatry, etc., etc., sociology, etc., 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 those things like that. But all they basically do is you tell them your story. Your story could be 20 years long, 30 years long, 40, 50 years long. Whatever you tell them your story, whatever the time length of it is, they are what the forensic psychiatrist would do is essentially break down whatever you told them and then break it down into a summary to say, here's a point where the initial disturbance, agitation, or psychosis, or level of disturbance, mental disturbance started to occur or imbalance, and here was something that agitated it, and or at this point there was some improvement. So basically they give a chronology, they do a summary and give a chronology of, based on what you told them, of your experience, your mental experience, and then they put it in their mental their medical professional terminology terms and describe it. So here's the thing. I'm not diminishing the skills or the amount of schooling and everything that they had to go through to learn. But listen, if all I had to do was to listen to you or listen to you describe to me certain scenarios and situations, I could come up with a summary and a report of what I believe either ailed you, helped you, or held you back, or any that affected you in a way during at the time. I could pinpoint, okay, here was a time, was a situation when things didn't go so well, it went sour, and because of that, I believe that this altered the person's mind state situation. And since it was never resolved because they never received any sort of remedy, you get where I'm going with this. That all you have to do is, and if you don't, let me tell it to you. All you have to do is be mindful enough to see all the points from an objective point of view, and then give a description, a summary, and a story of it. Come, and then you can say, well, this happened here, and so apparently this is what caused this to happen, and so that this is why the next thing happened, and due to the fact of the lack of, or the fact that this happened, the inaction or action happening, now the next thing happened, and so here we are at this point. So my point is to say, I went through all of that for my point to say that the coronavirus situation is affecting things in a widespread way, but however, it is only responsible for about less than 2%. The people that it has affected is responsible for less than 2%, or around 2% of the deaths of the people that supposedly were tested positive for the virus. So this is something that, so you, and if you look on all the scenarios and situations, you must take a closer look and not just get emotionally caught up in listening to news reports. Now, for instance, the hottest news, New York has brought down New York is in its second phase of reopening. However, there was a time when states like Florida and Texas and some of these southern states were banning or requesting that people that come from certain states would have to go into a mandatory quarantine. For a brief moment, New York became one of those states that was on the list. I know that Texas did something like that for people from Louisiana. I think Texas and Florida, or Texas and Alabama and Florida did that for people from Louisiana. But then I also heard of New York somehow being on that list as well for some of those southern states. Now reverse, where the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, is requesting that there is a 14, if you come from one of those hot, where the coronavirus has now become those hot spots of the coronavirus popping up, which they're popping up amongst the young people. And imagine that they're popping up amongst the young people who are also at college athletes at some of these southern states. So that's a double whammy, because they're athletes, which they love so much because they love their sports, is coming up with this coronavirus thing. So now all of that is going on, but there's a lot more going on, especially in New York, besides New York, besides them coming with a request for quarantine for people coming from those hot spots, and also the reopening. Now, the last episode we spoke on was civil unrest in America. And I'm sure that some of you, I've noticed that the listenership, definitely people have been tuning in and checking out that episode. And so there may have been things in there that you liked that I was saying. And of course, I would like to say that I'm going to bring the same type of fire and energy in this episode as well. However, it will be on a different topic. We may touch on the progress of the protests and so forth during the course of this episode. If we don't get to that, no worries. If we don't get to that in this episode, no worries, we'll get to it in the follow-up. The thing is, when there are so many people covering so many different things, and I want to maintain the actual point of what the Block Report is about, and that's, it's a local piece at first. At its core, it's local, but it reaches global. Before I go any further, as a reminder, you can find the Block Report on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and all your other favorite podcasting networks. The Block Report has a page on Facebook, facebook.com/ The Block Report, THEBLOCK Block, REPORT Report. Okay. And you can like the page, share the page, leave comments on the page, and let us know if there's something you'd like us to discuss on the Block Report podcast, or we could discuss it right there on the page and get this dialogue going. A brief aside. Recently, there was an election, and on a local level, different politicians and such, and it got me to thinking that about how there's so many people that run campaigns or people that are in campaigns and that get certain positions, especially judges. I'm thinking about judges and prosecutors. And a lot of the times, judges, they don't really have to come out there and do like a real campaign and shake hands with the people and get to know people. Although all that shaking hands with the people and doing all of that has kind of been suspended due to the COVID-19 thing that's going on. However, I think it's strange and important. It's a strange thing, and it's important to point out that these judges that can give these life sentences and adhere to mandatory sentencing structures are out here, and a lot of people don't know who they are, and they just end up on the bench and have this position of power. So I would like to see that become a bit more transparent, where people could know about these judges and their records and their points of view, to see if they have a certain political leaning that would tend to sway their sway or determine, excuse me, how they adjudicate cases while they're on the bench. Moving forward, let me read to you what's going on here with the MTA. The MTA, I have a headline here that says, MTA stalls capital plan amid massive $10 billion budget abyss. Now, what's going on is that the MTA, which is the Mass Transit Authority in New York City, and yeah, the state is a state thing as well, has run up. They claim that they're going to foresee a $10 billion budget deficit due to the effects of COVID-19. And so they have received some money from the federal government, but the MTA is claiming that it's not enough and that whatever money they receive will be just enough just to handle certain kind of capital money and not really pay enough for repairs and other things in operation of the MTA. Now, there's a sort of political football per se that's going on, because they're saying, okay, what wants to be declared now is that it's no longer a city or state issue. It's become a federal issue, and now the federal government must put up more money to prop up and maintain, to show so that the MTA, the Mass Transit Authority, will not falter or fail. However, in the article, I know I said I was going to read the article, but since I read it already, I'm summarizing. And because there's other articles and things that I'd like to get to, I may summarize those two as well. But it's all about, we're flowing right now. So there also, it comes down to where now there may be a certain situation where not only will the federal government try to bail out airlines and other private sector companies and corporations, but they're going to have to put up some money for mass transit as well, which, you know, the mass transit situation, I guess, because that would represent some form of infrastructure for the country. So them doing that, putting up more money to kind of uphold that, is a good thing. However, I'm just so surprised because these so-called fiscal conservatives and people that are concerned with the debt, I'm sure they must be the debt and the deficit and the budget, they must be pulling their hair out, because this is a lot of money that's going out. Not to all types of different entities. And of course, as I said, remember, all over a situation where less than 2% of the people who contract this virus die from. And I believe it's even less than 1%. But we're going through all of this madness due to this thing, supposedly. So, I made a post several months ago where I mentioned and I said, what if this coronavirus thing, I used the words scheme and scam, was a scheme and scam all to transfer money and wealth between different entities? Because at the time when I made this post, I could not be certain who those entities were. I just knew that money was going to be transferred during this situation. Money and power was going to be shifted. So, and that's what has to be understood of what's going on. The game is about money and power. Real power. Okay? So, if you think it's about, it's not power, you over here, because you hang out on this street every day, calling it your block, but then the popo could roll down and come and billy club and taser and chokehold and shoot your ass on that block. That ain't your block. Now, I could go into all of my usual poetic prose to illustrate the point. However, the point is illustrated already. And as I said, so this coronavirus thing is causing a lot that's going on. Even for instance, here goes an article where it's talking about that NYC beaches to open July 1st with restrictions. They're going to want you to have your mask on at the beach, and you're going to have to social distance at the beach and while you're in the water as well. I'd like to see how that goes down. They asked Mayor de Blasio if he would be going to the beach, and he gave this soft shoe answer, this soft shoe response. Let me try to find it for y'all here. I found this quite interesting. So, yes, here it is. Here's his response. Let me read the question first. When asked by reporters if he would swim at the beach on beach July, the mayor said he was unsure whether I'm going to take a dip. That's going to be an important issue, said de Blasio. I love all of our beaches, particularly Coney Island, as I said, so I am certainly going to visit. Now listen, whether or not the man takes a swim is not really so much that big of a deal. But one of the things I would like us to get to, or to get to really start understanding, my viewers, this is not a video, the listeners, is that politicians are very careful with their words. And you really have to, be part psychologist, part lawyer, a lot of times, to be able to diagnose and read through what they're saying. Because sometimes they're saying a lot of words, but in essence, they're really saying nothing. And a lot of times, here's another thing. A lot of times in someone's response to a question, sometimes the real answer is in the first few words that they respond with. The secondary stuff, the extra paragraph or next few sentences after the initial response, are things to couch their initial response to make it so that it's aesthetically pleasing to the ear, and that you would not find anything to be in contrast or against in the statement. So, and that's another thing too, because if someone comes to you, well, all right, look, let me not sidetrack into that, but I want to stay focused on here because yes, I'm here to bring you the news and not the blues. All right, and the truths. That's what it is. So that was going on there. What else we had here? Jerome Nadler. Hold on. Let me tell you who this guy is. Try to find this information. Some of this stuff is going to be political. And if you're a listener of the Block Report, I recommend that you become politically savvy. Whereas that you know what's going on. Like, you don't have to know every person that's in politics, but you do, you should know something about politics and have formed an informed and broad point of, a breadth, an immense breadth point of, immense breadth and depth of understanding of politics and what it's about. All right. So this guy, Jerome Nadler, he's the head of a committee and I believe in the House. Where's this guy? All right. You can look him up, whatever. But anyway, he's out here talking about that Attorney General Barr is President Trump's personal fixer. Kind of like what the guy Cohen was for him. And basically their investigations and their committees had essentially ended up having Cohen, then Michael Cohen, David Cohen, but Trump's personal attorney, you remember that was going on, that controversy, and he ended up in jail. And then he had another guy here named Roger Stone, who, according to these media accounts out there, was somewhat of an eccentric character as such. I don't know. That's what he's been described as. I don't really know this guy. So I could not describe him as such. But however, he was convicted for lying to Congress about his involvement in the Russian interference in the election of 2016. And the president was trying to work things out to try to get him a lenient sentence. Well, did you know that the president's former national security advisor, Michael Bolton, basically came out with like a tell-all book of his own talking about his time while he was in the White House, but he did not go testify when they were attempting to impeach Trump. He refused to go testify. All right, but here we go, because this thing ends up becoming and sounding so much more like a soap opera drama. But because it has so many moving parts to it, and they're so busy, and there's so much that's going on. All right, so I talked about this coronavirus thing. I talked about these politicians and what you hear them saying and how they, you know, the MTA and all that. But what I wanted to get to as well is I wanted to describe something, because believe it or not, all of these things which I'm saying are all tied together and they tie into something. There is something in all of this that you personally can use and help you navigate some things that you may be going through. And if anything that I say on the program has assisted you and helped open your eyes and let you see more and feel more equipped and feel that you and has added value to your life, then drop a comment on the page and let us know about it. Now look, on facebook.com/TheBlock Report, TheBlock, BLOCK Report, REPORT. Now, competition. Let me tell you about competition. From my perspective, the only competition I have is myself. Okay, we'll start there. I generally don't have to say anything after that, because as is said, what's understood doesn't have to be said. But however, what you may not understand is this. If one shows up to, if there is a 100-yard or 100-meter dash, and one shows up to the race in a car, and the other one shows up in a rocket ship, and one shows up in a pair of sneakers, this is not a competition. See, competition must mean that you are comparable. There is a comparison. There is a visibly seen comparison that is comparable in these individuals that says, okay, well, here's a competition. Because think about it like this. If it's the 92-93 Bulls versus the 2020 Knicks, that's not a competition. That's a blowout. So competition is not just because you put on the same uniform or get on the same track or the same field as that person. Competition is this, is that you would have to have similar comparable experience as your opponent that you're going up against for this race or challenge, whatever it is. Competition, you can only compete with those that match or are comparable on your level. Dr. John Henry Clark said, I only debate my peers, all others I teach. Competition is only with those that are comparable to you on a level. You can't be competition. A shark cannot compete with a lion. Sure, they do similar things, but it's not comparable. It's not comparison. It's not a relative comparison. A lion will hunt on the ground, and he might catch something in the sea one or two times. But a shark hunts and feasts in the water. Shark can't hop up on dry land and go start hunting and chasing down no damn animal. That's not a competition. So this should be understood, and understood well. That way you don't confuse yourself and go out there and put yourself in a bag that you clearly don't need to be in. Anyway, before I go on much longer, and then this just becomes a rambling recording, we're going to conclude this episode tonight and follow up with something in the near future as well. Possibly a part 2 to this episode, or a new episode on different information. Maybe even similar information, because I probably won't hear anything that happened to the young brother that I was dealing with earlier this evening until the next morning, because I, for whatever reason. So we'll go from there. But anyway, guys, look, I gotta go, and I really can't stay here too much longer. Guys and gals, I do appreciate all of you that take the time to listen and tune in. I would like to see more interaction from you all, especially your comments, so that we can build on dialogue separately. It might be related to the program, but a dialogue separately from the program, because I believe that we can build and move in a much higher regard once we start adapting and doing that. Anyway, like I said, this has been The Block Report. I am your host, the Magnificent TDK, aka Tafari XL. And until next time, listen, remember, always do your best, always be you, always stand up for yourself, and always be true. I'm out of here. Peace.